If you are serious about getting close to God, you will pay attention the next 5 minutes. If you want to grow in the anointing, you have got to first realize that you've been bought, that there's nothing more left to prove. You're saved. You're redeemed. You're set free. You're delivered. You're new. You've been bought. The old coat that you wore don't fit no more. You put on something brand new. It fits nice and snug because it is who God always knew that you could be. There has been a price paid for you. So if He has paid a price for you, then He will challenge you to be better than what you were when you were in your past nature. If God has saved you, He brought you out of that. So you do not live in your past. Somebody say that. Somebody grab somebody by the hand and say, don't live in your past. Don't live in your past. Don't live in your past. Don't look behind you. Don't live in your past. There's nothing back there for you to get a hold of. If God has delivered you, then you are delivered today. I wish somebody would get a hold of that right now in the Holy Ghost. If God has set you free from something, then you are set free right now. Not yesterday, but today. Your future is knowing that God has already bought you. Your future is defined by knowing that He has brought you through many troubles and many tribulations, many dark places, many times you couldn't do it, many times that you had to say no. Devil, I'm not giving in. Devil, I'm not saying quit. But I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm not giving up. I am determined to hold out until the end. Jesus is with me, on whom I can depend. For I know I have salvation. I feel it in my soul. And I am determined to hold out to the end. I love that song. Get me back where I need to be, church. We're on number two, right? You've been paid for. God will speak to you and challenge you. And your obedience is possible because God's saying, take what they've done and put it on my tab. I'm able to preach to people even if they've hurt me because God told me put it on my tab. I don't hold anything in my heart. Because you know why? Because I put it to God, the one that can handle it. If I had to hold and handle all the drama that goes on around me, I would surely fall. And anybody in this place that is an honest human being, you would say that you couldn't handle the drama without God. Because if He wasn't there to bring you peace, if He wasn't there to say, cast your cares upon me, that's God saying, put it on my tab. He's saying, for I care for you, for I received you, so receive those that need help. You see, Paul didn't recommend Odysseus just because that he thought he needed help. He had had an encounter with him. And he was speaking to Philemon and saying, you need to receive him. For I found him to be most useful. How many of you have made a mistake and still feel like that people are holding you to that mistake you made years ago? That you are in fear to obey God because you still feel like you're running away from something that people are judging you for? This is grown-up talk right now. I want you to understand where we're coming from. Odysseus, albeit he failed, but Paul saw beyond his failure. He saw beyond the fact that he had ran away and loved him enough to receive him. I heard one of my former colleagues tell me when I was in a bit of a panic, he said, I'm a wily old veteran. I don't get shook up too often. And I was laughing. I was like, well, you've worked about 30 years. I guess you've seen it all. And he said, yeah. He said, you get to a place in your life where you've been through enough, and there's not going to be too much to surprise you. So everything that we go through, we just preached this Friday, it is for God to be proven in our life. And as God proves things to you in your life, it will cause you to be able to be more yielding to obey Him. As you yield and obey Him, you begin to receive those that although they failed, that God still sees as useful. My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. Somebody had to pray for me because they weren't praying for the faults that I had committed, but they saw that God still had something useful for me to do. If you want to be thankful that I preach to you every week, you better thank God for the people that believed in me when nobody else would believe in me. It had to take people that were willing to receive the challenge and to pay a price so that God's love could deliver and make new in me. So if we don't learn as a church to receive others,
and to stop caring what they've done and get in a place where we'll receive them regardless. You'll be able to put it on the charge of God and say, God, I know they failed, but they are in need, and you see a use for them. There is still a life to be lived in Christ Jesus. There's still life to be lived in Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to start living and quit dying. Somebody needs to start living and stop living to die. He's called you to be a happy person, my Lord. He's called you to be a happy person. He's called you to have a smile on your face. I still smile, not because I'm deserving of happiness, but because I knew I didn't deserve it. Let's get to this fourth command. You go back and you read that. Verse 22, but withal prepare me also a lodging. He was asking him to open up some space in his property where he lived so that Odysseus would have a place to lay his head. As we are saved and delivered by the blood of Christ, all of a sudden a remodeling plan takes place in heaven. The angels begin to go over some plans and say, we've got to make room for one more. For he was lost, but now he's found. He once was a runaway, but I saw some usefulness inside of him. Oh, there was some remodeling that was taking place. Perhaps men and women had already said, don't make any room for him in heaven. He ain't going to be there. He's already done too much. Church, we better get a hold of this if we're serious about seeing people delivered by the Holy Ghost. You've got to realize that you've got to make room for people even before you ever receive them. Paul was saying, go ahead and open up, because I know that what I send to you, it's going to be good to you. If God has saved you, then he's saying, make room in your church for other people to obey God. Make room in your ministry to be open to receive other people. Make room in your life to receive those that are in need, for God will surely bring them in and save their soul. We have to learn how important that it is to come in on fire for God every time the doors open. For we know not the day when it'll come, when God will send another Odysseus to this congregation. So every time I preach, Rebecca, I'm making room. I tear down all the walls that I've believed in all my life. I get past all the doctrines. If you get caught up in doctrines and religion, it'll kill you spiritually. I drop all the walls and all my uncomfortable feelings that I've always been afraid of to speak or to sing or to play. And every time that I open up and obey God, I'm making more room for somebody. Oh, in the Bible it says, greater love hath no man than this, that he will lay down his life and living for his friends. It says his life, but I know that also translates to mean living. That means what you have, what you are, what you give, how you hold it, what you do with it, that you'll give it all on the behalf of somebody else. There's so many people that need us to lay down how we feel about them. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. We've got to learn to lay down how we feel about somebody, because you can enjoy this preaching right now, whether you think you can or not. If you would just drop your guard and say, God, I need a word. I don't care if it comes from the sky or if it comes out of a dog. I don't care where it comes from. I'm ready to receive something. You can turn away a good thing and miss out on it. If you are stubborn and stiff-necked and hold on to your own beliefs, but God wants you to drop everything and make more room. You see, when he saved you, he was making room for the Holy Ghost to have a abode inside of your heart, so that you could grow and be a new creature and be something, to be something new. When the thief was next to Christ in what is seemingly the last minutes of his life, he was asking, Jesus, will there be a place for me? And Jesus, paying the price for our sin, gave one of the most amazing revelations. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Church, I'm telling you that there is a place. They've took the walls down and made it larger so that you can make it to heaven. And I don't know if you've ever been excited about seeing a house be remodeled, because you're not looking at what you're seeing being done right then. But in your heart, you have the vision. of the finished product. I praise him tonight that I can't see my heavenly mansion just yet, but I'm going to go ahead and rejoice, for I know that no matter how it's going to look, it's going to be a glorious place to dwell. The Holy Ghost is a remodeler, and it will take all of the junk that we deal with and clear it out.
You see, if you read in the Old Testament and you start to connect the dots in God's Word, you will realize that the children of Israel in their bondage represent us in sin. And that as Jesus came along, he did away with the law, and to say you can be free from bondage if you will believe upon me. And as Jesus Christ left the world and gave his life to provide us access, we, as we live in 2013 right now in the moment, have a way of escape unto a greater hope by the blood of the Lamb. So if you know Jesus Christ, praise God for it. We ought to be able to thank him every service for it. But I'm here to talk to some people that God is challenging to make room in your temple. Oh, he's wanting you to open up some walls and be willing to receive the challenges that he will send you. Oh, if we just get caught up doors and coming in and waiting on a song to stir our heart, we're missing the whole reason that God sends us the song. Because through the anointing of God, it says it destroys the yoke of bondage. So those things that you are held to are destroyed through the Holy Ghost. So if we make no more room for him and are not willing to receive more of him, then we are not able to withstand the load that our temple could hold. If you look at the Lincoln Memorial, if you ever get a chance to go there, you begin to behold all of the great pillars that are holding up that amazing structure. And I know that without those things to hold it up, it would have surely fallen. It took effort to build those up, and it took time. And as God begins to work in your life, it will take time, and it will take you some effort. But if you will let him bring you through some things, you'll be able to withstand a greater weight and be able to make room. We're going to bring something out right here and now. Some of us are ready to have a deeper walk in God, but aren't willing to let go of some things to make room. You see, how many of you have a room in your house, a closet or a back room or an office somewhere that you've got all of your extra boxes, all of your extra junk? You've got your closet overstuffed, and you say to yourself, well, if we had somewhere where there was more room, then I'd be able to fit everything. But you see, sometimes we can't afford to do the room on our own. Some of us would like to spend $20,000, expand our closet, make our bathroom bigger so that we can get in the jacuzzi tub and just, oh, feel the bubbles, baby. Just kicking back and having a great time. But that sometimes we can't do it on our own because we can't pay the price. You can try all that you want to receive people in your own self. But if you've still got a problem with them, you'll come back in the next week with the same problem that you tried to do on your own, because you're not able to pay the price that Jesus Christ paid. You're not able to do enough that they'd ever be able to have room. More than that, the blood of Christ cleanses. So that's saying it cleans up. Look inside your spiritual temple and say, are there some closets where I'm trying to store up for me that I could be cleansed to make room for somebody else? If you've ever seen somebody that's homeless sleep outside on the ground, I bet they would be happy to sleep in the floor of your house. If somebody is hungry, they'd be satisfied even with a piece of bacon to eat, because it's not just about what they get out of it, but it's that you have compassion to do it. The main and key ingredient to everything Paul was telling Philemon is to have compassion on your servant, because you will find him to be of use to you. I feel like with all that's in me that Philemon does have purpose in the Bible, and it is meaningful because it teaches us that everything we have is not limited, that we can continue to grow. There are deeper levels. We're going to teach now. There are deeper levels in the anointing that we can get to if we will be willing to make room to receive it. Bad feelings can't stay in a house that's going to expand. And you'll never pay enough of yourself to ever get rid of it. It takes the atoning power of Jesus Christ to deliver us. And I'm going to be as real as I can right now. God is quickening my spirit, and he's speaking to some of you in this place. And it's just simply telling you, all this junk that's tried to keep you bound for so long, that's tried to hold you captive, the Lord's saying, put it on my tab. Let me have your troubles.
Don't continue in the way that you've been. And let my love change you so that you can make room for a deeper love in me. God's hand is not slacked, that it's not able to reach out and make room in your situation. There's been some times that I literally had so much going on that, Doris, I felt like I was claustrophobic. I felt closed in. I didn't feel like I could even get an arm out edgewise. Not even open up my voice and ask God for help. And some of you might feel like that you, have you ever seen, is it called an MRI where they go through the tube? What is that called? It's an MRI. If you've ever had an MRI before, it is so tight that you literally can't move and do anything. Have you ever seen anybody in a straitjacket? They're bound. There's no wiggle room to get out of it. And Satan is trying to keep some of us just pushed in and so tight with drama and rumors and what other people think and opinions and bad stares. And the Bible says railings and jealousy and grumbling and complaining. All of those things are just keeping us compressed. And God has come tonight and is ushering you in the Spirit and telling you it's time to get rid of this stuff and to make room for more so that I can use you. Don't make the mistake of seeking for material things, because I found that if you have more stuff, it's not going to help you. I dread the next time I have to move. Every day that I can find a chance to toss something, I'm thinking, I don't really need that. I'll just go ahead and get rid of it because I know I'm going to have to box this stuff up soon and move it somewhere. And I don't know about you, but if you try to find somebody to help you move, or paint, help you paint your house, or help you to remodel, or to do anything, volunteering to do anything, you'll hear the crickets chirping. And they're not saying, I'll help you. They're saying, poor, pitiful you. Somebody's playing the world's smallest violin. We kid about it, but I'm being serious. You can get so tied up in things that we lose the ability to receive more of God. So we'll come in and we'll feel a little bit of something. But Diane, have you ever been there? You know it's not enough. You know that it's not enough. You're going to go back out and say, you know, I'm still going to be unhappy when I leave. And nobody will ever confess to saying that to themselves, but I will. I've said that to myself before, that I came to church and said, well, I'm going to be just as miserable when I go out of here as I was when I came in. Why did I even come? Why did I even bother? And if you stand around and look at a mess long enough, you'll find something to say for sure. You'll look at it and say, well, I need to get rid of this, but I just don't feel like it. I can't get anybody to help me. And I poor, pitiful me. I've got to get this stuff cleaned up. I guess I'm going to have to do it all on my own. But you know what? You're never going to get around to it, because there's too much other stuff going on in your life to ever get to the clutter of sin and temptation. So we return into our life and feel like a merry-go-round, a roller coaster, whatever you want to say, the waves of the sea tossing us to and fro. And God is teaching this church to grow. That's the challenge tonight. That's the decree. Are you willing to open up yourself, break down the walls of the inside of your soul, and make more room for what God has in store? You don't have to give an extra shake or an extra dance or a step or shout louder or clap your hands louder, for that's not what this is talking about. I'm talking about in the depths of your personality, that part of you that would quit too early. God's saying, don't quit too early. Drop your wall and take another step and find the blessing. Some of us may fall into temptation. You do good for a few days and all of a sudden Satan will pull you right back into something. But God is saying, don't give in after just a few days, but be faithful to believe, and I will take you on through this thing. If the devil tries to torment you day by day in your mind, God has sent you a word to say, cut this mess out of your mind, rebuke the tormentor, and put it underneath your feet, to put it behind you and not let it live alongside you. God did not give us power for anything to ever stay. He gave us strength so that we can pick that thing up and say, I don't need you anymore. Get underneath my feet and I'm moving on. Somebody needs to say, I'm moving on. Somebody say, I'm moving on. Somebody say, I'm going on with Jesus. Somebody say, I'm going on. Somebody get a hold of somebody's hand. Tell them, brother, I'm going on with Jesus. I'm going on with Jesus. I'm going on with Jesus just the same. I'm going on with Jesus just the same. You may false accuse me, scandalize my name. I'm going on with Jesus just the same. We have got to learn to go on and stop living in this tiny little thing. God is wanting you to break out of the box. He's wanting you to break out of the box. He's wanting you to, somebody needs to break out of the box. Somebody needs to get uncomfortable in the Lord. Somebody needs to give God a praise right now. I'm already finished, but I'm not giving up just yet. Somebody needs to open up their spirit and to receive what God is pouring out right now in this place. Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Woo! God, help us. You've been waiting on this, and God's saying, come on, it's time. You've been waiting on somebody to shake everything up, and God sends you a word saying it's time. As they come and sing, I want you to break out of the box. If you've got to get out of the pew and get up here to be free, do what you got to do. If you've got to go run a lap outside the church, do what you got to do. But stop living in the clutter. It's time to get that we get our sledgehammer and the weapons of our warfare, to which are not carnal but are spiritual, and begin to cut away and to sweep out and to uproot everything that the devil has tried to put us down with. We want a church that's on fire, that God is saying, break outside the box and see what I can do for you when you make more room for me.